Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Awakening, part of the Converging Flow. You're listening to a bit of Bliss by Yogini. That's available on Mantra CD and compilation as well as EP list. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. And if you're just tuning in for the first time to Awakening, I want to let you know that this is a place to come in, to connect, to share your insights and awareness in the path of Awakenings. Awakenings is an interactive live internet talk radio show that's focusing on grounding the process of awakening. We're going to look at the challenges in the shifts and change of awakening, as well as explore what it is like to become more and more conscious and how to live this in your everyday living. At Awakenings, we host dialogues and interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors and conscious beings of all walks of life. Awakenings is a timely relaying of essential information, insights, inspiration, and tools for transformation and spiritual unfoldment. Awakenings is a place to connect into the truth of who you are and share this. We love your calls here. We air every Wednesday and Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. We air via Blog Talk Radio as well as Cosmic Dimensions Radio. You can also be found on iTunes. You can RSS feed or subscribe via iTunes. Those of you that are listening or would like to call in and listen, you can call in at 347-539-5122. Again, the number is 347-539-5122. And I really love the feedback that I get in the emails with questions or guest suggestions, because Awakenings is what it is because of all of you listener participants. If you'd like to call in and you have a question, just press number 1 on your phone, and then I will see a signal on the switchboard that lets me know that you actually have a question for our guest or myself. It's wonderful to connect with all of you in this converging flow. And what is that converging flow? So much is coming together at one time, whether it's personally, within the personal aspect of yourself, as well as the collective. And as well as a lot of different technologies are coming together, it's people of all walks of life coming together and sharing their awakening or sharing their peace to this awakening, as well as different people from different arenas or areas that are also converging or coming together. And there's also a lot of change that's happening in this converging flow. It really is a flow. It might seem hectic or bumpy sometimes, but it really is a flow. And I think that's a lot of what the learning is about, is that flow is not just like a ripple. The flow has different velocities to it. So who you hear there is hello, yogis, our enlightened, aware, awake fellow spiritual traveler and guest today is Katarina Dileva, also known as Yogini. And Katarina is an amazing multifaceted artist, metaphysician, transmitter, healer, and a wonderful healer through sound, I would say. We're going to actually play a bit of the her bliss. I played just a little bit of it at the top of the program. Welcome to the program, Yogini.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here again.
Oh,
we always have such a beautiful time.
Yes, we do. I have my tea. I don't know if you got to, because I know it's, let's see, 12 p.m. Pacific. I'm in California.
Yeah.
And you're, what, 8 hours in Europe. Stockholm,
yeah, it's 9. It's 9 p.m. So I'm having a nice evening here with a lot of candles lit in my room and
nice.
Really, really relaxed.
Yep, nice.
I'm here, sitting here. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. I may light a candle myself, even though it's daytime or incense. I'm very very much into scent. Loving Egyptian oils and things like that.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds
anyway, great. We can shift, right? Yogini?
Yeah.
I'd like to, and you know, before we went live, and I think I said this to you before when you were on a different format where we were only airing through Cosmic Dimensions. Now we're still airing through Cosmic Dimensions live, but Blog Talk and some other podcast outlets. But I was saying, you know, I feel like I need to record before we go live, because there's always such amazing information before we go live. Kind of that raw. But, you know, what we're talking, I want to touch back on for our listeners,
mm-hmm.
That you had said, dig where you stand. And we had been talking about the shift, and you had said, well, you had been very inward of late.
Mm-hmm.
And that urge, we talked about in one show,
yeah.
that we get this prompting or this inner prompting of where to go or what to do or what's coming up for us. And you were saying that urge was telling you to go more within.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. More within and more within. It's like when we look at the oceans, it's like the scientists and the researchers, they find deeper and deeper cavities in the earth. You know, we can go deep, deep, deep and find fish and creatures we didn't even dream of, you know, at the depths of the ocean. And I feel very much like myself and a human being, everyone, we have these deep abysses of energy and of life and of unknown territory that is actually within us. And I think that my last year has been very much about diving deeper, 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 encountering parts of myself and parts of the universe through myself that I haven't really encountered. And it has been quite an inward journey, so to say, and not always the easy path, but still the urge is kind of completely driven me to go and don't stop, you know, just go, sink in, and whatever you confront, whatever fear, whatever may be there, just greet it, feel it, let it go, and just take the wisdom and clarity that comes from really, really going into that depth. And it's like encountering a logic beyond reason, beyond the mind, that is completely this deep consciousness, deep soul level of talking to oneself. So it's been a very, very interesting time of kind of evolving a language that I didn't feel I could really speak before with myself. But that has been one of the fantastic treasures for me. I mean, this is a very, very personal, but I'm sure it's the mechanics are quite the same for everyone.
Mm-hmm. But I think we're really being called to that. And it's interesting, as you're saying, going deeper, and you likened it to the caves in the world, is my sense is that a lot of this, the shifting that's happening on one level, even though it seems like there's a lot of shifts happening externally, you know, with Pluto and Capricorn, there's a lot of structural changes. But I think people forget, Yogini, that it's also a structural change internally.
Mm.
Kind of that is what is within is without. That,
yeah,
right? That maybe there's this call to dive deeper within ourselves to whatever that next level is,
mm.
you know, of unfolding. You know, like it's like, yeah. maybe within us there's, like you said, more and more caves. you know, once.
Yeah, it's like there is so much once we start to kind of really go with the emotions, go with the body, there is such guidance that comes forth. And it could be the easiest thing, you know, that a crisis in life kind of propels you into exploring something. It might be very much reluctantly so, because it's not nice. It's not the first choice, maybe, to go in there and to kind of confront your fears, and maybe the past comes up and shows its face, maybe old ghosts, but it's still like all those things that kind of keep the life force blocked has to be released in some way. And it's a beautiful journey also to go on, because it brings in so much new life, so much new energy. And I think it's this dig where you stand thing is like, we don't have to go out there and get a lot of literature and get a lot of outer guidance, really, because I think that what we really have inside is the biggest treasure chest. If we just relax into it and just start to listen a bit more.
Mm. Now, we have a question in the chat room. I want to ask you this, because it is, Debbie is asking, she's feeling like she's going within more also, and was asking, do you think that it's because of it, like what's happening externally in the world or the economy, or is it an escape? What is it going within?
I think that an escape will not feel good in the long run, because there it will just bring about some kind of stuckness. One feels when it's a flow, it's a very natural and easy and uplifting feeling. Even though if there is like confrontation and inner turmoil, it's still a flow. You still feel it's a process going forward. And I think that my feeling is that every soul has its own kind of agenda. So we, certain things, certain outer things like a crisis economy may trigger things, but it's still just some kind of signal and impulse, and it's not such a big deal from where the impulse is coming. The important thing is that your inner core is awakening and starts to smell and taste and want to go deeper. I think that's the just follow the process and just be like a kid and just enjoy it also. I think that's how I try to do it.
Mm-hmm. Seems like there's another way that's being created within us. Of course, we are doing this from a higher or more expanded perspective. Mm-hmm. But that going within or following it, see, that I feel it's our conditioning that we've been taught that going within is escaping or doing other things. You know, like people that are taught, you know, you must work, you must be productive, and then if you take time off, it's like, well, you're escaping. It's like, no.
Of course. And it might be a very efficient way to escape, to sit and meditate and to drift off into dreamland. And, you know, I think that's, of course, it can be the perfect escape.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me exactly
of
that.
Very much so. It's like, oh, it's so nice. It's Om Namah Shivaya, you know, 24/7.
Yeah.
But I think it's something more real and grounded that we need to really feel fulfilled, because we can try and do that escape for a while, but then we will kind of realize, okay, this is nice, all these things and all these ideas are very nice, but how do I feel? I mean, am I comfortable with my anger? Am I comfortable with my nervousness, frustration, fear, all that? I mean, that's where the truth comes in and kind of knocks on your shoulder and is like, hey, there's something to look at here. Just, I think that's our inner kind of blocks will eventually show us the way to eternity. We can follow them. We can see where they lead us, and we can kind of, if we really, really think into them, face them and follow the process, it will lead us to clarity, because all those things are just really on the surface of what we really are. But I think it's hard to really get grounded in that experience and truth unless we really try to face ourselves. I really love that quote that Jesus said, "Know thyself." It's one of my absolute favorites. I think that's what it's all about, to come here, know thyself, because when we have kind of opened the doors to every room in our inner house, I mean, it's like we live in one room. We know this room, we have our stuff, we have our things, we have a way where we put it. And then one day maybe something happens, you know, maybe a crisis of some sort, a separation, a disease or whatever. We're forced to kind of open the door, go out into the corridor and open another room. And it's like, oh no, this room is messy, it's full of stuff I don't want to look at. Oh, I have to turn the light on. Just go out there and check it out. And then you close the door and back into your known room. But life will want to set you free. So life will, we're going to keep pushing us, open all the doors, and we go into the rooms, we kind of integrate, and then we realize we have another floor. So I think it's a lifelong process of constant evolution, constant expansion, constant confrontation. And I think the secret of life is more like just allowing it, being in the process, being there with whatever is there. Just not to put oneself put the happiness in some distant future and something impossible, some impossible spiritual ideal, but living here and now with everything that is, and doing the best, and having faith in the process. That everything that happens for some kind of reason, even if we don't understand it now. It's the puzzle is being kind of laid out all the time, and eventually the picture will be clear.
It's trusting that. It's digging where you stand. It's like you said earlier, I love that saying, phrase. We have a caller. I'm going to just check in. We have a couple of callers. Yeah. One has a hand up, so let's see if there's a question or a comment. Hello, 334-365. You're on Awakenings. Did you have a question or a comment?
Perhaps. How are you both doing today?
Great. Who are we speaking with?
You're speaking with Queen Goddess Uokis.
Hello, Queen Goddess. Did you
Hi,
have a
Queen Goddess?
Hi. I just tuned in, but I may want to wait and reserve my question and comment, because I'm into the creative arts, and that's what intrigued me to listen to the show. And I think if you come back to me, I will have,
You have the little hand up. I don't know if you pressed number one.
I did, but I thought I was ready, but I guess I wasn't.
Okay, I love it. Hey, we're allowed to change our mind. That's the brilliant thing about life. I love it. Okay, Queen, we'll check back in, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Keep listening. I love it. I love it. I love it, too, the honesty. I changed my mind. Let me feel it out. It's great. That's great. Oh, boy. So one thing we were talking about that I want to touch upon, well, first for our listeners, let's awaken. Everybody knows this about me. It's very circular, because we start where we are, and then it's organic. I know a lot of shows at the top of the hour, there's like a format that you say where the person's from and what they did and their background. And actually, I guess when I did my TV show, I did have that background. But for some reason, I don't know why I don't do that anymore. It's just kind of whatever, however it happens, the unfolding. But if you would share a little bit for our listeners, a little bit of your path of awakening and how you came to be where you are, a little bit about your unfolding.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
Where?
Now, I get this, the first picture I get when you ask me is me being about 6 years old, being on a beach. I often ended up doing yoga when I was a kid. I didn't had never heard the word. You know, I come from a small town in north of Sweden where these things were kind of completely unknown at the time. But I ended up doing acrobatics, you know, standing on the beach and just getting into this flow and just getting into this kind of connected, spacious happiness. And I had all these images floating, you know, through me of myself being grown up and doing about what I'm doing now and being really, really happy and in tune. And I just had this feeling that this is going to be a good life. It's going to be a good. It has a purpose. I have a purpose. I'm here. I'm. It's going to be great. That's the first thing I kind of think about when you ask me. And then I moved to a picture when I was about 17, and I was at school, and I was just watching someone taking out a book out of a shelf when the whole image kind of broke. And I just had this instant realization that what we see is not real in every sense, that it's kind of an illusion, what we see. So I had a complete crisis back then at 17, because wherever I looked, I just saw the reality breaking up before my eyes. It was a very weird, weird thing, because I couldn't really talk to anyone about it. I mean, if I was to put something like that into words, it would have sounded like I was completely crazy, but I wasn't. It was just like a very obvious experience to me. And I think from then on, I was just having all these intense experiences of often through being creative, creating images, creating whatever. It was like this very powerful flow that came through me, and I just felt very uplifted and very connected to something that I felt was only, yeah, love, like a pure energy. Pure, beautiful energy that was very, made me feel completely unlimited. And then, of course, I the more conscious I became, the more I started to kind of formulate to myself and be on this journey where I was just constantly aware of the process taking place in me. And I think that it has been like that ever since. I mean, I've been going to different places in the world and had different meetings with amazing people and got many gifts along the way. But I feel that this kind of inner inquiry, how do you say it in English? Inquire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being in touch with like my body, my emotions, having that as a barometer for some kind of for my soul, I think, and just following this urge of growing, experiencing, has been very much a very natural path that has come kind of just like you say, the unfolding. It has been, I think I was quite awake when I was a kid, and I think it just kind of continued like that. I could never really accept, you know. I remember in school when they taught us that, well, if you have schizophrenia, you have a chemical imbalance in the brain. Okay, that may be a fact. But I was always like, okay, but what came before the imbalance? What happened? Why? What is that that original substance, that original thing, that how can you reach it? I was very much like that. Didn't give up, you know, always questioning. Wanting to go deeper, wanting to experience it, and not being satisfied until I really found what I was looking for. So that's been me in a nutshell.
So you kept following that inner prompting, it sounds like.
Yeah, and just because it and went where my kind of, you know, where my passion and lust and curiosity led me. because I always felt that there was something with me. So at the end of the day, it was always there, it just kind of led me on.
And how did you know to look within, or how did you how did you receive your messages?
How did I receive my messages? How do you mean? Like where to go, what to try next?
That urge we talk about.
It's been like an inner knowing. Sometimes a voice, sometimes through images, sometimes through a very severe crisis maybe that came up in my life in, at different stages. Sometimes my pain and anguish and feeling like, what is this existence? The pain of something, separation maybe, always forced me to go for the healing of what was in pain. Mm. So it's been both the light and the darkness that has been pushing me, I think. Mm. Both my urge, my longing, my happiness, my wow, this is inspiration, this is wow, that has been one thing. And then also it's been the yin and the yang, constantly rotating, constantly. So it's that inner play and constant relationship with those extremes, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think I've been quite extreme, gone to the extreme to make it everything turn.
But I think it is, it can be that way, and I think that sometimes scares people. But I love what you said a minute ago about these different doors that we're going through and these different rooms, you know, that there's more and more. And I think that's a lot of what the shift, I feel, this, you know, succession of awakenings that's happening is really this inner journey or quest or like, you know, we always say inside job, but it really is that. It is really going more and more within and then living that without. But there has to be that going within on some level.
Definitely, definitely, because it's the whole foundation of the inner work and this spiritual growth and everything that is so hip nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's hip, yeah. It used to be hip.
No, but honestly, I feel it's a very basic thing, and it's I remember when I was it was one time when I really, really got connected to a deep-seated anger within that was wow, it was really, really powerful. And I had been my whole life been very, very efficient at kind of blocking it out like a blind spot. I didn't know that I was so furious. But it was like, it was more like discovering like the life force, the kundalini, the shakti, the power that was just wow, way, way amazing, huge. And then going through that process of kind of unveiling, uncovering my own locked up emotions, maybe negative emotions and stuff that I've been stuffing down, it kind of led me to where I kind of self-ignited. So my it was like my life force has constantly for 6 years been pushing these things up to the surface. So it's been like a constant flow and constant confrontation and constant expansion. So I think that's been the thing that happened when I was young. It kind of led up to this explosion, and since then it's been like on the surfboard all the time, among the sharks and among the angels. Angels in the sea. I want to see them too.
Yes, but it's all energy and motion too. We have to release that. And that seems something that many in our society have, you know, we've been conditioned not to be in touch with that anger.
Wildness.
The wildness, yeah.
The naturalness. I mean, the yes, because it's life. I mean, it's life, and we kind of tend to be diplomatic and not show ourselves. It's like, we're a bit scared of just being full out. And I mean, I can't say that I'm always full out and, you know, raving along the streets of Stockholm. It's but it's, I think it's within me. I have learned a very efficient way to completely let it out, to completely be in touch with it, and it has really, really changed how my freedom is, you know, within and compared to other people and everything. So I think for me, at least, I think everyone has a different path and everyone has a different way, and different things are good for different people, and it's I think that's the thing that I've discovered, because I tried so many things. I mean, I read a lot of books. I really checked it out, this whole spiritual world, and what I bounce back on, it's all within us. It's all within me. I can just dig where I stand, like we talked about before. It's a very human, natural thing. It should be very simple and natural. I think it shouldn't be too far up there or too hard to reach, it's something we all have access to. And sometimes I spoke to someone the other week who was like, but don't believe in healing, don't believe that you can heal, you have to be a saint to get in touch with God in that way, and there are so many spiritual laws and you have to abide by them, otherwise, you know, it's like, it can be so complicated. I think it's not complicated. We tend to complicate things on some kind of spiritual journey that we're on, but it's still kind of, I think we have it in the backpack, what we need when we get in here. I think I really, really try also when I work with people, like clients one-on-one, or when I have groups and seminars, what I really want to emphasize is this ability that we all have, that it's a natural inborn thing that we all have. It's not like, oh, look at him or her, she's so wise, she has all this, she's so psychic, she has all this wisdom. I mean, that's great. We need all that inspiration to look up at the sun and see how it shines, but it's still so much within ourselves. We all have this special, unique recipe for our own growth, and everything that happens in life is a coach to bring it out. I'm so sure about that.
Oh, I like that. Everything that happens in life is a coach to bring it out.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I think, too, what I'm hearing you say, it's how we look at everything. If we're looking at things as coaches or reminders, or that which is inspiring us, it still is claiming that it's within us. You know, we are our own inner guru. You know, we are our own teacher. You know, even if we go to someone for assistance, it's still to bring that out of us, that whatever, like you said, is in our own backpack, whatever in us.
And the trust, the instinct, the basic reactions and our emotions and trust that we know somewhere. And I know this is very easy to say, and sometimes it feels so hard to get at it, because it feels like, it's easy for you to say, but still I think that it's important to say it over and over again, that we really have the code for our own evolution. And I think it's also a time to be very nice and warm and caring and understanding with oneself, because I think that to have this, I think it's important to relax.
Yeah.
It's very important to relax.
Yeah,
it's kind of, it's okay, you know. It's okay. It's okay, because I have this cute song. I, it's, I think it's a guy called Riemann or something. The song is like, and she say, it's okay, I got lost on the way, but I'm a super girl, and super girls just fly. It's very cute. It's okay, I got lost on the way, but the way is still here, I'm still standing on it, and it's just like, I don't understand everything. Life is a mystery, and it's what is all this? I'm furious, I'm confused, everything. But it's like, yeah, good. Use that too as a coach.
Yeah, it's all part of the process, you know.
Yes, all part of the hologram that is blessing also. It's like a hologram, and we can heal parts of ourselves, and we can heal the world through that, and we can heal other parts of ourselves through healing certain parts. I think it's a complete system,
mm-hmm.
and it's very smart.
Yeah, innate intelligence. We have that within us. We are, we are that. One thing you've said, Katarina, and I put it on the Awakening site, that creativity is all about realizing what's already there and cutting through the limitations of the mind and matter, and that it's an ability to expand beyond the limits of our conscious self and gaze into the unknown, and that to create is our natural state of being. Wow.
Yeah.
And what do you feel blocks people's creativity? Or are we blocked with our creativity? Is it maybe just the form?
I think we are blocked until we are unblocked. The creativity is always there, and I think it's the usual issues. You know, one can, at the surface it can look like, oh, my self-esteem is not good enough. But if you dig a bit deeper, it might be something that happened earlier. And if you dig a bit deeper, it might be something that happened earlier. And if you dig a bit deeper, you can kind of encounter parts of yourself, of your consciousness, that just needs to open up and to heal. And maybe there are some issues from the past that are affecting what's happening now. I think that it's very good when there is a creative block. When I feel like, this doesn't work, I kind of try to melt into it. I try to feel it. Where is it in my body? Oh, I feel something in my solar plexus. Usually I kind of look at it as like, has it got a color? Has it got a shape? Oh, it's like a thorn and it's bright red, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel it physically. I feel it emotionally. Maybe I feel anger, frustration, whatever, and then I kind of melt into it until it's kind of, what do you say, it's released, the charge is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's very easy to get into the flow again. I think it's a very, very physical thing that one can do if the creativity feels blocked, because it's very easy to get in touch with the emotion and where it sits in the body, and it's very, very good thing to work with from that angle, because it's very tangible when you get into the emotions, when you get into the body. And of course, I mean, you can say that stress is making people creatively blocked, but it's still a surface thing of something that goes deeper, I would say. That was a very long, was a long line coming out there. I think the creativity is really one thing that kind of touches upon the whole being, because when it's running freely, it's the best thing, and when it's blocked, it's kind of taking over everything.
Mm.
It can be so painful, because it's the core of our being is this creative force.
So really, it's about what I'm hearing you say. It's about being in touch with this force. Then, is really what creation is, or creating. It's just being in touch with that force.
Yeah, and just inviting it and doing things that feel good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be so simple in things like preparing a meal. Doing things that kind of gets your juices flowing creatively, if you want to kind of get inspired, do what makes you feel inspired. Easy, just look at images, take a walk in the forest, take a bath, have sex, I don't know, whatever gets you going and gets you to kind of relax and to listen to a good piece of music.
So it's really about, again, I'm going to go back, it's about tapping into that inner urge, that intuition. Is the first,
yeah.
It sounds like is the first start, the first step, if you will. And I like also you go on to say that aligned with this divine frequency, there are no limits whatsoever to our experience. I love this passage. I love this passage.
Thank you. Well, that was kind of the core of my awakening, I could say, when I was very much into the artistic and not really put into words those spiritual things yet. But I think that was very much the core of my own personal experiences opened up in the flow.
So now, did your with your awakening, Yogini, and I don't even know this. I'm asking this question because I'm trying to. The result of it or the outpicturing of it come through your creative expression?
Please say that again. I didn't catch everything.
Yeah.
The question.
Well, now there's another one in the chat that might even, and I'll go back to this. Debbie's asking, are all acts of creation channeled?
Are all acts of creation channeled? Depends what you mean by channeling, but of course it's the energy that is kind of, energy that is manifested, it comes through you. Of course it could be channeling. Depends on what kind of value and definition you lay in the word channeling, but I definitely see it as a channeling, a natural channeling.
So when you're creating something, jewelry or even your music, you feel that there's something coming through you, this energy?
Oh, definitely. It's a very physical, very tangible experience. It's a deepened state, and it's a no mind place also.
And then Debbie in the chat has another question. Do we get the inspiration from other spirits?
Do we get the inspiration from other spirits? Yes, that can be.
Can be, yeah.
That can be, and ultimately I guess they are also a part of us, and maybe we get that inspiration for a reason, because we resonate at the same frequency for a while, or for a longer while. Ultimately, there's something, it's like a seed in the soul of everyone. And then we kind of draw different energies and different inspirations. And I think sometimes it might be inspiring to feel that I have this connection and this guide or whatever, whomever. I mean, as long as it feels like it's a good thing and it's bringing you forward. So I think it's a great thing. And it's completely up to oneself how one is viewing it. It's, to me, it's very much like it's the one source that kind of emanates and maybe, you know, goes through a few stations before the energy hits me. For me, it's very much, it's the one source of everything.
Yeah.
But sometimes in this source and in this flow and this energy, you can kind of distinguish different flavors of the energy and different connections and different energies and spirits, and yeah, it's like this big palette of colors
that
come through.
Yeah, it depends, and many shades of the colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Light is asking, I wonder if that also explains the endorphins with channeling and creating. I feel that happens as even in meditation, as you get to those more expanded states of consciousness and out of the stuck states of fear, you do feel, well, you actually activate different parts of the brain. So there is a chemical release that happens. So in that,
it must be because something is happening.
It's happening.
Yeah, I guess on a physical level, it's manifested like that.
Exactly.
Just think about what the body can do. It's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. And that's the thing, too. I think that there's some barriers being dissolved from old programming that, you know, there's a lot of religious programming about, you know, getting out of the body, an over-conservative program of escaping the body. But we came here to experience the body and physicality and the emotions. We came here to experience this. So,
yeah, I think it's really time for that now. I mean, it's time to to put the whips aside and to enjoy what we have. I think it's the body is the most perfect place to experience the world through. If we separate from the body, it's like we have this huge tool that we're not using that is kind of, you know, grounding us here and now. It's such an amazing, amazing gift to have this body and to have all this emotion, or whatever, how base they may be. I think it's maybe time we start being like mothers and fathers for all our emotions and kind of embracing them all, telling them all that they're equally as important.
Absolutely. And Joe in the chat is putting, yes, yes, the experience. Yeah, that's the thing. We came here to experience all this. And then there has been, you know, belief systems out there that say, No, don't experience it. What a game. I'm glad I didn't buy into it, but a lot of people that did. Because I'm kind of, you know, even though I'm very mystical, I'm very common sense. It's like, okay, then what are we doing here? We have all these things, chocolate, incense, nice
I sense something here. We have all these things, chocolate.
Yeah,
I think you're amazing. I think you're such a great example of being so much a mystic, modern day mystic, and so warm and so caring, loving, and just digging where you stand. I think you're so great.
Well,
because you're being down to earth, and I think if you're gonna reach people that are really wondering about all these things, you can't just talk about being enlightened and being there and there, because it's like, oh, how am I gonna get there? You know, it's we are here now and we have all this.
Yeah. Well, that hit me a few, you know, that was one of my awakenings a few years ago, and I even put it on my website, and you think that I was like, you know, I don't know what, blasphemous or saying racial slurs or something. I put on my website, you're already enlightened. You're just waking up to this, because I looked up the damn word enlightenment. It just means of light. So I was like, oh, my God.
And I think that's...
We're striving for what we already are.
Yeah, we are there. And that's why I'm constantly referring to this. Dig where you stand and trust your instincts and trust who you are and the uniqueness of your own impulses. What kind of makes up the process that is you? Because it is a process. Everyone is a process, constantly changing with every breath.
I love the dig where you stand. There's something forming for you on that. Because I think so many people are trying to get away or get out of something. And actually, you're giving me a confirmation, because I think it was a couple of days ago. In fact, I even put it on the Twitter. I had done a mindful meditation. And it just, I don't know, it was a flash, but a subtle flash. You know, the subtle ones that are just deep, but it's like a big sign in your mind, and you can just feel it in your body. I got you where you are, where you are, wherever you are, whatever's in front of you. And that's what I wrote. I said, whatever's in front of you is what you're meant to do.
Of course. That kind of wraps this whole thing up, I think, very beautifully, very simply beautifully, because it's true.
Now, here's another question from the chat, and I love this, because this is what everybody fears, Yogini. And you, if you dig where you stand, won't you? Debbie, I love you in the sacred space of empowerment. Also known as the chat room. Debbie, bring the home all the time.
Okay, if you dig where you stand,
won't you
what
fall
happens?
In a hole?
Yeah. That might be the black abyss of this inner dark night that we may have to face. I think that's it's a very important thing to bring up, because there is a dark night and it's very dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of all the accumulated fears, almost the archetypal patterns of fears and the things that we host within ourselves that are not kind of lit up and integrated. So of course there is a black hole. I'm sorry to say, but there is one.
Yogini's being truthful. It's not going to get...
I think that black hole is actually the part of this whole journey that has given me the most strength almost. I mean, I could also say the light has given me the most strength, but at the end of the tunnel of that black hole has always been a stronger light.
Mm-hmm.
So this dark night of maybe having a long periods of doubts, of maybe anguish, maybe of pain in the body, things that have been coming up and kind of doubting my whole existence sometimes. Mm-hmm. It has really, really, really... paved the way for new clarity. So I think for me, I truly, truly dread and also treasure those black holes, because they truly are my teachers. And I mean, to face one's black holes and really do that, and despite that, on like pure will and faith alone, just rise again. I think that is something... that I really, really, really admire in human beings, that we are able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very, very true place and spot for me. And I'm very grateful for all my black holes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my answer. Keep falling in.
Keep
falling in.
Another question now from the chat is, explain, dig where you stand. Do we want to open the hole?
I think this is kind of I think that dig where you stand happens kind of when life puts you in situations where you have to find the answers within yourself. When there is no really satisfactory explanation outside, and you have to kind of sink into your own inner world. To get the answer. It's not like let's dig and dig and dig and dig until there are holes everywhere. I don't think that might be so constructive, but it's more like when you have to do it, it's and that's the precious thing of realizing for yourself, I think, who you are. Mm-hmm. in that matter or in that question or yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, too, a couple of things as you're speaking, Yogini, that it's bringing this realization up for me is that, number one, the hole that we're falling into is more of ourselves, just a deepening. And the only part of us that's falling in a hole is the ego personality.
True.
Yeah?
It's the structure that has kind of been... The rigid structures that have to fall, everything has to go that is not in tune with this, with the basic frequency, the soul's desire, the heart's longing. I think that that's what happens. The heart, the soul is kind of expanding, want to grow. Life is bringing on evolution. All the things that doesn't really fit anymore, they have to go. I think that's when you kind of fall in the black hole and you do your work there and you kind of come out a stronger, clearer individual and more grounded.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'm seeing, and I want to get your take on this, is that because we're moving, and, you know, we have the Pluto in Capricorn, so a lot of restructuring and transformation with form. And I think sometimes people forget that form is also our ego personality is a form. It's the soul in form. And belief systems are form. They're thought forms, right? They're energy, emotions, energy and motion. It's all form. We're working with form. But as we're becoming more formless, connecting with the light body, we're lightening up, we're becoming more magnetic or more feminine, that we are going to be going through this restructuring process ourselves more and more, which is that hole you talk about, that void, because we don't, a lot of what's coming through us, this next level, is not even in form yet. We're creating it as we go. You know, something you said earlier that I think you touched on it a little bit here, but we talked about it a bit before we went live, is that you are seeing that anything that is not in tune with the true frequency being stripped away, it has to go. Can you speak a little bit on that, how that's happening?
Oh, yeah. I think it's pretty much what we've been kind of touching upon during this whole conversation, this inner work that is brought about by this growth and higher frequencies of energy that is kind of forcing, magnetizing us to evolve and to be more like in the zenith of our souls and to be more like right on our life's purpose. And I think it shows itself in a very, very basic way. It may come in form that we don't feel really satisfied. We don't feel like we like what we're doing. Maybe we don't like our job, where we are living. Our relationships may not work. It's so many things that start to show us that, it's time to change, time to grow. Then we kind of fall into the black hole because it's kind of painful when the buds are breaking out into the flower. The changes are painful because we have to let things go, and we don't want to do that often. We have to sometimes let relationships go. We have to change and to go through those processes. I think that's where we really do our spiritual work, actually. It's very, very human situations that show up to kind of force us further out on the limb, and to just to grow. It's life itself that is just wants us to grow. So there is a conflict in the structure, in the ego, in the stuckness, because this fear comes up and we don't want to change, and it's maybe then something pushes us. It might be that life forces us to do it. So I think it's all these very, very simple human things where we feel like something isn't in tune. But life is going to make it in tune, and we're going to maybe scream all along the change.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like we come out of the black hole, and that that fear transformed into power and strength instead.
I think one thing that I have been getting from the guides is that they're remembering that we are encoded for what's needed to do this change, and we came here to do this, and that as we're individually shifting, it's also a collective shift that's changing the way that the whole planet will relate. I mean, every species, every sphere is in a major transformation. You see it with the economy, you know, with politics, you see it with religion, you see it with the outer forms, the more structure forms, and it is a call even for those individuals or people that created those forms to go within, and as you say, you know, whether a politician, a priest, a rabbi, a mullah, a teacher, a secretary, a wife, a husband, a child, whatever role or form, the call is, as you say, is for those people to be digging where they stand and to shift and to come up with more forms, creative expressions that represent the new consciousness that's being built.
Yeah, it's update time.
Yeah, exactly. Update, everybody. Woo! That's it.
Yeah. It's the next version coming up. I think this is kind of a pretty seamless process that's been going along for a long time, but it's speeded up. One can I feel also that it's something is really, really shifting and happening, and it's gone into a new kind of intensity.
Yes.
A new intensity.
Very intense. I can see, it's interesting, too, what the normal distractions, and I know, by the way, just for our listeners, let's just let everybody in on a little secret here that some may know and some may not. Spirituality or your spiritual seeking can be a distraction. You know, on that, if people are too much in that seeker mode, there's some time where you need to move from the being the seeker to the finder, and then the experiencer or the liver, you know, that you're living something. But sometimes people, and Joe is putting in the chat, that's true, even an addiction. I love that, Joe. Thanks for that. And that's a very good point. It keeps us, because if we're constantly seeking, we're looking outside ourselves, right? It's not until we're finding, when we're looking around and truly seeing, it's in the finding that you really ground these deeper principles. So, and then experiencing it.
I think there's a time for seeking and there's a time for finding.
Yeah,
and it will be a completely natural happening. That's my view of it. But when the seeking is over, the finding is beginning, and it's hard to kind of force it on to become done, to come to that point. I think it's just a natural unfolding, as you say. So everyone relax. If we don't make it this lifetime, we're very happy conscious go to heaven and then come back again.
Yeah, that's a wonderful
nothing to worry about. I just feel that everything has its course in a very perfect and nice way, and it has its own rhythm and it has its own plan, and it's like this seed coming into the ground, and it has this program, as you say, and it's sprouting, it's coming up through the earth, and then, wow, there's a little leaf coming out from the stem, and another leaf, and there's this innate intelligence that makes me relax so much when I look at nature, because it just knows, and it just is, and it just grows.
Yeah, I like something that training is saying in the chat. You seek, you knock, you ask, and then you accept and embody. That's nice.
That's the sequence. Yeah.
Yeah, you accept it, and then, I guess there needs to be acceptance.
Because after a while you just get so exhausted that you have to accept all the changes that are happening all the time. There's an acceptance. And
That's it. That's true. It doesn't matter. Either way, the shift is going to happen to you. So it can exhaustion.
There's nothing you can do about it. It's more like that. It's for me, it has come to some kind of humoristic, relaxed place, that it's whatever I do, it's still gonna find me. Even if I try to stop it, even if I try to speed it up, it still will have its. It still will be the process. And it's like even those tries to speed the process up, it's like it's also part of the process. Mm-hmm. It's also part of the experience of trying and finding out.
Yogini, as you're talking, I'm going to share this, even though we're it's between you and I and thousands of people that listen. Thinking, but what the hell? I had an integration dream last night for some stuff that I'm obviously clearing and working through, and there was this big mallet, this big, like, but then when it was coming down on my head.
What is a mallet? I'm from Sweden.
I know. I don't know how to explain it. It's not a hammer, but what it looked like was like a gong, you know, with the Tibetan bowls.
Okay.
The music bowls, the little wooden, instrument that you put, you know, around the bowl to make the sound. To make
like the thing you hit it with.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was
a small club or something.
Yeah, like a small club. It was coming down on me, on my head. But for some reason, I was a little worried in the dream, but then I looked up at it, and all of a sudden it turned into this big Tibetan, like, gong. So why it reminds me of what you're saying is when you said that you can't hide or you can't run. You know, from whatever it is that's coming on you or down upon you or within you or whatever form you're making. And then I had this image, too, of you, like, running around the street, you know, hiding behind corners, like, you know, like, looking around. Is it coming? Is it coming? You know?
Yeah, life is very resilient. Yeah. It comes from all angles. There's no escaping.
There's no escaping it. The transformation, you know, that, but I think too, and this is part of awakenings is about that. How can you help it along? I think I'm going to go back to this. I think it's so important what you said earlier about anything that's not in tune with the true frequency, with your pattern, your signature frequency, then it is going to be stripped away. And that's happening to a lot of people, you know, it's happening to our structures and our outer structures. So it's really, it's if people can dig deeper or, you know, stand where they are, dig where they stand, as you say, and help it along or just resist less, fall into it more. It's a much more fun ride.
Yeah, it is, and still I think it, when the impulse comes, it's because it's time, but you're going to resist until you get the impulse to not resist anymore.
That's a very good point, yeah.
I think that's kind of... it's
natural.
Kind of, you see what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Well, it's part of the process. The resistance is a part of the process, even.
Yeah, I feel so, because I remember when I started out and I felt like, oh, why aren't people more awake, and why is it like this, why do they want to go around and feel bad and frustrated when all these nice tools are just laid out, why don't they pick them up and use them? And then during the course of my own inner journey, I was like starting to accept the tools that I didn't work with because I wasn't ready, and then I saw it, there's no just hurrying up. So I just feel this acceptance about it. Everyone's work is being done all the time, and I think that the universe is quite capable also. it is what it is, I guess.
We don't have to worry. Yeah.
No, actually, I don't worry. I feel a lot of pain though, for so many people out in pain, and I feel it very physically. I feel it very physically, and it really hurts when I go into it. And still, I have to. I try when I feel that pain to use it as a wrench to open my heart even wider, and to burn in that compassion. Mm-hmm. Instead of just closing on that feeling that, oh, something is so wrong with the world. Because, of course, it feels like something is wrong with the world. And at the same time, the whole world is a process. And it is where it is. And we might want to change it. And I think that those impulses that we get from our hearts when we have this strong inner fire that we really want to bring something out into the world, we want to do our share, do our part, and follow our impulses to heal what we can heal. I think that's it's a beautiful, beautiful thing in sharing. And and it's and still I think it's this balance between wanting something to happen that is not ready, that is not really ready to happen, that would also be like a strain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? It's some at some point there is, one also has to accept that the world is what it is right now, and it's a process, and one has to put one's faith and trust in that the process is being where it is for a reason also. But there is, of course, there is a lot of pain and things going on in the world right now that can seem so unbearable. it's that when one gets into this human logic of why is all this pain and evil possible? It's an unbearable perspective. It's really, 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 really heavy.
Mm. I think too, we had a comment in the chat room about why are some people asleep. And I texted in there, or wrote in there, that there are different levels of being awake or aware, you know, different shades. And then he's saying, it can therefore be said that to some degree human beings are also asleep on levels.
Mm.
Yeah, but
yeah,
asleep,
of course,
is the same. It's the same polarity.
Yeah, but every day I found out that I have been completely asleep to certain things. I'm completely humble to that. I just feel like I know less and less and less every day that passes, and I'm just happy for every piece of clarity that I can feel.
Yeah.
Because life is also a mystery. It's not just to explain it. It's so many. It's a complex ride.
So true. And sometimes you're right. You know, you have an awakening and you go, wow. And there's a succession of them. Sometimes you go, how did I not know this or see this?
Mm.
You know, something that's interesting that he's putting in, that's being put in the chat room, is about that the more asleep you are, the more pain. Not necessarily. I mean, I so understand that saying, ignorance is bliss. I have met some wonderfully asleep people.
Yeah.
Very ignorant and
very happy.
Very happy. Life is working well. And
sometimes I can also use that quote because it has something. Because when you start to feel and open up, the depth of emotion and feeling is intensified.
Yes. Yeah, you feel more.
Mm.
You know, I remember years ago, and this just hit me. It was a girlfriend of my brother's, and they had a party, you know, a little barbecue and friends and family, and I had been doing some deep inner work, and I was going to go. I was going to show up, and then I felt very inward, and I felt like I just needed to be, you know, with myself and meditate and do whatever. I went to the beach, and so I had called and left a message with him, and the next day I was over at the house, and she was saying, oh, you should have come, it was a great party, we had music, it was great. And I'm like, yeah. And I said, yeah, I just felt very inward, you know. And she said, what? I said, yeah, I just felt very inward, I needed to. And she said, oh. And I said, that's weird. She goes, well, you could have come here anyway. I said,
yeah, I get that too sometimes.
And I said, haven't you ever felt inward and you just felt like being to yourself? And she looked, she says, no, not at all. And I was like, wow, okay.
the urge is different for different people. And the timing is different, and it's, we're all very, we're different, unique, and we have different kind of takes on what's going to happen during our soul's journey through this life. And it's amazing that it can be so different also.
Yeah, and also that someone, like friends that are close to me, and even family members that know me, know that I'm cocoon or feel very inward. They know what that means. But here is somebody in their whole world has never experienced that. And she even said, well, you, and we talked about it, she says, well, you could still come over. And but the kind of the thing with 30 people there is inward doesn't. I mean, it could go together, but I, you know, I'd be sitting.
No. But sometimes there is not that concept even of,
yes,
of living directed towards that inner place.
Yes. And so for her divine reflection, what she's reflecting in this holographic, energetic matrix, if you will, is perfect. She's holding that piece, and obviously comfortably well, because it's not even encoded within her. It's not even within her to think of that.
No, but sometimes I also hear that, sometimes when I maybe give a seminar or something and speak about doing this inner work, some people may feel a bit uncomfortable. It's like, why am I going to do this? My life is good as it is. I don't have any problems.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's a different scale of what you feel as a problem, because there might be inner turmoil and it might not be so pleasant to stay inside. But then people might solve that problem by directing, as you say, the energy outward. So there is no real experience of what's happening inside.
Mm-hmm.
But if, as you do, you turn inwards and you're very sensitive what's going on within you, you can't turn away from it because your soul radar is so specific. So you feel directly when something is out of tune and you can't fake it anymore.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what starts to happen the more conscious you get. It's like something is happening inside here and I have to deal with it. And even if you can deal with it by just tuning into a complete presence and you just neutralize it, or you just go with the emotion and let it uncharge itself, doesn't really matter. But it's like, I think what you're saying is that when you come to a certain point in yourself, there is no escaping anything.
Because you
are just sensitive what it is, and you don't. It's like your house is a mess, and the floors are dirty. You can't walk around like that. You have to clean them, and you have to take care of that. Just as natural as cleaning your floors, brushing your teeth. Is this inner sphere that you want to keep clean, and you want to. You want to do the processes that it takes, and it becomes a natural focal point and core of your life, and that's why you are so committed also.
And no choice. The encoding.
Mm.
I really think a lot of it is the encoding, what you're encoded with, what will be decoded on a, not just, you know, obviously a level of living it out or experience, but also on an energetic level. I mean, we do come in with a certain, you know, software.
Mm.
And at some point, you know, like on your computer, you have, do you log in at the start? Do you want to open it when you turn off the computer? Some of us, okay, woo, lockdown's coming. Oh, something's opening. Here we go. What's happening? Here it is, you know. I want to play maybe towards the end. I want to play Bliss. I love that chant that you do.
Thank you.
You're going back into the studio?
Yes, eventually I am. This music has been, it's been a slow process that's been with me for many years, but now it looks like Yogini is going to form and or maybe channel an album. Who knows? Maybe something's going to happen. So I have teamed up with a friend who is a very, very talented producer, and we will start to explore what sounds and energies and themes that are going to form this album. And it's very exciting because it's very organic, completely urge driven, completely dig where you stand, completely ecstatic to work like that. It's almost the best place I know. It's very, very inspiring.
Mm. There's a lot happening right now with sound, and even going back to the original sound before, I believe in the 20s, I think around 1925, when the tuning forks were standardized. There's a whole movement to connecting in with, well, you said earlier, the true frequency. So there's a lot of uncovering. There's a lot of cleansing and clearing and removing, it seems like, misinformation.
Mm.
Yeah. Are you seeing that yourself?
With the
feeling it?
With sound.
Yeah,
I think that the sounds are getting clearer and more pointed. Mm-hmm. The more this collective process is going, is being intensified. Absolutely, it's a very, very powerful source of energy and inner work, source of inspiration for the inner work and tuning. As you say, it's very much about tuning.
Mm. Tuning in. Tune in what way?
Tuning to help to tune to find this original vibration. Also.
Yes. Yes. That's it. That it's finding that original vibration. We're connecting back into that. And that I find is very, I feel that we're going from working with emotion, we'll still be working emotionally and clearing the astral or etheric body and obviously working with, you know, form and behavior. But the first form is that vibration or that sound. Mm-hmm. I feel that's going to be so important, definitely in the next 3 to 5 years. It's already been happening. But to connect in with, like you said, what is the true vibration or the clearer vibration, the clearer sound.
I think you're going to be able to emit clearer and clearer vibrations the further the process is going also. I think that would be the most natural result.
Mm. Yes. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Mm.
That's what... And part of what I'm hearing, what you're saying, Yogini, it is really about going to that which is most natural to us, that which is our true state or nature, getting closer and closer to that. And part of that is that deepening that you're talking about, that being where you are and digging where you stand, you know. Well, I want to wind down and end with... I think we're going to play out to your Bliss, that track from the EP Bliss, as well as it's on the compilation CD Mantra. Now, do you still have the EP out with just Bliss?
Yeah, you can get it on iTunes. You can get it on, I think, Amazon. Can get it as a digital download, also from a place called clicktrack.com, clicktrack with a K in the beginning, that is.
Okay.
And it's on a compilation called Mantras in Motion. It's on a compilation called Om Diksha. And I think that if you just go online and look for Yogini and look for Bliss, I think you will find it for download somewhere. And you can also listen to it at MySpace. That address is myspace.com/Katarina Dileva.
Oh, Katarina Dileva. Okay, it's not Yogini. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, the chant is called Bliss. That's how we met. I kept listening to that thing over and over and over. Oh, my gosh. That and then for our European listeners, you do have a website, yogini.se, right?
Yeah, I think it's more accurate to point people to yogini.is. That is under construction right now. That is my kind of artistic work. And then
that's the jewel.
I also have katarinadileva.com. That site is in Swedish right now. Unfortunately, there's no other languages. But if there are any questions about anything, it's just to send an email and yes.
Yeah, well, we have people. We have some Swedes that listen, so go read in your native language. That'll be much. Oh, Yogini, this has been wonderful connecting with you. It's been great.
Yeah, the same to you, Michelle. It's always lovely. It's always a transmission. It's always a very special energy when we do this, because it's like it's completely. Open. It's completely in the flow.
Yes. In the flow. Well, we've been transmitting. I like to do that, even though not necessarily always mentioning, but some people are able to feel that. And I guess because you have workshops and seminars going, also where you do these transmissions, do you have any of those coming up?
Yeah, if there's something coming up right now, I'm going to be working different places in Sweden now this spring, and some things are planned for the fall. So new things are kind of added all the time.
Do you put that on the site, on the website?
I put it on the site.
Okay. Perfect. Well, Yogini, thanks for joining us on Awakenings and being an awakened, inspiring guest.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure. And thank you, everyone who's been in the chat room and coming with all your questions and inspiration also to the conversation. It's been a pleasure seeing you all.
Thank you, listeners, and those that have been in the sacred space of empowerment, also known as the chat room. So appreciate your insight and feedback, and as well as those of you that called in. Very appreciated. If you want to keep in touch with me, you can go on Twitter, tweet me at AwakeningsTweet, and you can follow updates. And if you'd like any further information, you can go to Michelle@selfandlight.com if you want to be on a newsletter list, if you want to keep updated to what's happening, what's unfolding. And if you would like to contact Yogini, you can go to her myspace.com/Katarina Dileva, and it's also on the Awakenings homepage. And like Katarina says, dig where you stand. If it gets to be a bigger hole, just relax into it, fall into it. All right, so we're going to play a little of Bliss by Yogini. And until next time, shine your light and keep awake.